The scripture reading this morning is from Exodus. It's on the back of your bulletin. I'll be reading verses 15 to 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Okay, so what is happening here in this Exodus scripture? God appointed Moses to lead the Israelites. God appointed a leader to take the Israelites out of Egypt. They were complaining along the way, as people do. They were worried about why they had been forced to travel the roundabout way through the wilderness instead of being taken directly to the promised land, to Canaan. And Moses' response was to say to them, "Don't be afraid. God is going to show up today, and you will be delivered." But to God, Moses complained, okay? So he was able to encourage the people, but he turned back to God and said, "God, why do you have me in this position?" And God said to him, "Don't cry to me. Tell the Israelites to get going and to move and do as I told you. Raise your staff and split the sea, and the Israelites will walk through on dry ground. And I'm going to do this in such a way that even the Egyptians will realize that I am God." Okay, so take this scripture. Remember, this summer we're talking about culture and church. Take this scripture and think for a minute about the church. God has a plan to deliver us, the whole church. God is appointing leaders, and God will make a way for salvation. This is huge, because even those who oppose the community of faith will believe in God. So I'm going to show a film clip this morning. This is a fairly long piece of film. It's going to be about 15 minutes. But this is a really elegant portrayal of God in community. This is from the movie titled Moses. It's a TNT movie that Ben Kingsley has starred in. Has anyone seen that before? No one seen that before? God's making a way for the community here, but it's not without risks. Okay, it's not easy, and it requires everyone's participation in order for it to happen. There are murmurings and there are complaints along the way. You'll notice that in the movie. Moses is tested. After all, he is human, right? But he continues to act in faith. So Ben Kingsley plays the role of Moses. And for those of you that are used to the larger-than-life Charlton Heston, this is going to provide a very different way for you to think about the leadership in the faith community. where Charlton Heston almost comes in and seems to take on the role of God in the Ten Commandments, I believe that Ben Kingsley has a much more realistic portrayal of the role that Moses played in his community, which points to the power and presence of God in their midst. Now, The Ten Commandments by Cecil DeMille is an epic film, don't get me wrong, but if we have time this summer, we may watch another film clip from that movie, because The Ten Commandments in no way follows the biblical text, and in fact, it is more a movie that reflects Hollywood in the 1950s than it does the biblical word and the Hebrew community for Moses' time. But in this film clip, note that the difficulty in navigating the fact that the Egyptians were drowned at sea does not get watered down at all. There is a plan and a purpose for that. God wants everyone to believe in his plan and his power, not just the faith community. You will see Aaron in this movie, Joshua, and Miriam several times through this clip. Take a special note to watch the community for the roles of both age and gender. And then I want you to consider whether or not you think the way they portray the community in this film is a depiction of the culture in the 1990s for when the film was made, or do you think it is an accurate depiction of the Hebrew community from that time? So, how true to the biblical story did this account seem to come? Any particular reactions to either Moses' leadership or the way the community functioned? The community was taking a risk. They were going somewhere where they didn't know where they were going. And they weren't all completely trusting and faithful. They all had their questions about what they were doing sitting at the Red Sea there. Did you notice that everyone in the community had a role? Even the children were carrying things. The women were carrying things. Men were carrying things. The elderly were generally carried by the community. There was one blind child, I think they showed, that was being carried. But all the other members of the community had a role in their traveling through the wilderness there. How often do we look like that community? How often do we look like a community that takes risks of faith, that steps out into new territory and find that God delivers us into a new land? How often does that happen for the church? Also, one of my primary interests in showing this is to show that the community didn't break off into little groups. Well, I'm going to go here and do it this way, and I'm going to go there and do it this way. But they all stayed unified together. They made a choice and continued on and pressed on in faithfulness together. My efforts this summer to engage us with culture through literature and film are intended not only to help us to have conversation with people outside the church, using some different avenues to speak about God, but to also ask the question about those times that the church looks like we take on more of the culture instead of it being the other way around. I think about that in light of this last week's Chick-fil-A controversy. I don't know how many of you were on top and listening to the news that was coming forward about whether to go to Chick-fil-A or not this week. But one question that I have heard asked after this week was that if there were miles of lines of people to get into Chick-fil-A this last week, then where are the miles of lines of people waiting to serve at the local soup kitchens? Where are the miles of lines of people that are waiting to go volunteer at the hospital, or the miles of lines of people working at the homeless shelters? Kind of a good question to ask, isn't it? Is the church moving in ways so that even those who are outside the community will believe in God? Is the church a witness to the faithfulness of God today? interesting questions for us to think about as a congregation. But here's the thing. Listen up. It is God who shapes community. God creates community. And here are the ways that God does this. And we learn this through the Exodus story. First, God hears the cries of the people. People, the slaves in Egypt, were not crying out to God. They were simply crying. They were enslaved. They were unable to, they were living in despair. Their needs were not being met. They were not a free people. They were being oppressed. And they cried. And God heard their cries. God takes those cries and selects a people, a person, to lead them. Selects and appoints leaders. So God appointed Moses. And then God, remember, through the plagues and all that landed on Egypt, God made every effort to persuade the Egyptians to believe in him. In fact, even at the very end there, before the Egyptians head into the water, God strikes lightning down. I thought that was pretty effective as a way to hold them back and give them a chance to reconsider again. But because of that, God instituted a holy meal. Remember, God instituted the Passover supper and said, this is how I'm going to protect you. Paint the doorways with the lentils of your doorways with sacrificed blood from a lamb and share in a meal together. Take a lamb and share it with another family. And then God provides deliverance in a really unlikely way, a way that no one could have dreamed possible. That's how God forms and shapes community even today. Do you realize that? God works that same way with that same kind of power today. Yes, there are challenges and yes, there's testing. But listen up. We read over and over again in Scripture that when things seem impossible for the faith community, God makes a way. God makes a way. This doesn't mean that the community of faith is to remain idle. We saw the community in the film pick up. They left their familiar territory. They carried everything that they had with them. There was a lot of work involved for them to travel, and it took a roundabout way for them to get toward the promised sea and toward the promised land in a way in which God wanted to deliver them. It didn't seem to make sense to anyone in the community except for to God. You see, God uses everything to shape the community. So we too are not to remain idle, wring our hands and be worried about the future of the church. We too will be required to step out in faith and to head in a direction that may be unfamiliar. We've already been asked to participate in what is called the United Methodist Church's Vital Congregations Program, and I'll be speaking with that a lot more in the weeks ahead, especially through this fall as we are headed into setting our goals for the year ahead. We are required by Vital Congregations to set goals for our congregation, and we will be talking about this at our August 28th Church Council meeting. Church goals are set for four reasons. They help give clarity and focus to the ministry that we do here. They help move the church forward rather than getting stuck in a rut. They make us go to a new place. Church goals will create greater accountability for us. They need to be prayerfully developed and discerned by the whole congregation. We can't just have a few people breaking off and going here in one direction. This is going to require discernment from the whole congregation. And setting church goals will make us better as an entire congregation, as a whole church. Before our meeting in August, I am asking that each of the small groups, whether you're on finance or trustees or staff parish, whether you're part of the choir, the United Methodist Women, Adult Sunday School, that every one of those groups sit down and put together one goal to bring forward for that meeting so that we can talk about what those goals might be, and we will talk about that more as well in the weeks to come. There was a seminary student who attended a very academic and intellectual church. And early on, he went and attended some of their functions. And one night he was at a family supper, and he sat down next to a man, and he introduced himself, and he said, "Have you been here long?" And the man said, "Well, yes, I came to this church before it was a scholarly church." And he said, "And in fact, I'm probably the only one here that's not intellectual. I'm probably the only non-intellectual one who's left. I haven't understood a sermon here in over 25 years. And the seminary student said, "Well, why do you keep going?" And he said, "Because every Monday night, a group of us get together and we take a van and we drive over to the Youth Correctional Center. And every Monday night, we go out and play basketball and we talk with these kids and we engage with these kids. Mostly, we just get to know them and listen to them." He said, "I started going to the correctional center because that's what I heard Christians were supposed to do, that they were supposed to do things like these." He said, "But now I could never stop because sharing the love of God with those youth has changed my life. Has changed my life." Then he made this very profound statement. He said, "You cannot prove the promises of God in advance, but if you live them, they are true. Every one of them. You cannot prove the promises of God in advance, but if you live them, they are true. Every one of them." God can do anything. And if we just take the step, when we just live out the promises of God, we learn that God provides deliverance through what looks like impossible or unlikely situations. Just as God promised to deliver the Israelites, God shapes and forms communities who respond to His grace. But before the community was delivered through the Red Sea, God directed them to share in the Passover meal. And before Jesus Christ made a way for us to be reconciled to God, Christ shared a Passover meal with the disciples. Lord Christ, we thank you for the grace that you pour into our lives, that indeed you shape and form us into a community that knows possibilities and moves in new and meaningful ways. We lift up these gifts to you and ask that you use them to strengthen us in our faith, that our efforts towards sharing your love in the world might be multiplied and blessed. Amen.